Is it coming?
Yeah.
My friends, understand this. How did Allah manage to make us do these things that are so difficult, and we do them every day, and we have no complaints? We have no complaints, and we do it. You know what I'm saying? Go around. I'm not talking about this Mu'mineen and Shia. I'm talking about even, you know, the Wahhabis. You know, how they manage to make these Wahhabis get up in the morning and be so disciplined in praying over there. How did Allah manage to do that? I want you to understand this, my friends, very well. How do you make a bitter thing sweet? How do you make a difficult thing easy? How did Allah do this? You see, one thing I will start off with as an advice to my parents, and to teachers and ulama, you know, and since, you know, I sit on the member, it comes with a responsibility, I will address those who also sit on the member also, to say something like that. Listen, first of all, as a parent teaching his children about wajibat, as a teacher teaching his students about wajibat, as an alim teaching his followers about wajibat, do not lie to them. Do not lie to your children and say, oh, this is a great thing. This is so sweet and enjoyable and pleasurable that you will get the pleasure of it. Because you know what? When they will start praying, they'll say, where's the pleasure? Don't lie to them. We need to be honest with them. And say that, listen, this is difficult. This is hard. This is not bitter. So the only thing here, that first of all, when you have to say the truth about prayer, when you have to say the truth about fasting, when you have to say the truth about all the wajibat that are difficult for us to do, so how do you do it? My friends, at least when you say it, have a smile on your face. At least when you say it, have a smile on your face. Don't be angry and upset and say it. Because prayer is difficult. Don't make it more difficult by making a frowning face at your children. This is what happens usually. You'll see that. Those people who go out and preach and teach other people, they tell them to pray. First, prayer itself is difficult and bitter and hard and all these things. But then they say with a frowning face, go and pray. If you look at it, if you look, if you've been to Hajj and Umrah, you'll know this. Right? One, you know, it's hard for you to pray. Meaning, it's difficult. You have to do something, right? And then you have these mutawwa'a coming with their ugly faces. And with an angry face, they'll come and say, Qum salli, Qum salli. Easy. This itself is difficult. Make it easy for us. At least say it with a smiling face. At least be nice. At least be good when you say it. At least say, inshallah, you should pray. Come to pray so that at least that bitterness might go away by looking at your smile. And friends, a parent, when he wants to give deen to his children, a teacher, when he wants to give religion to his children, at least have a smile on your face. At least be happy when you say it, so that the bitterness of the hardship of the taklif can go away from your children. At least it can go away by looking at your akhlaq. That your akhlaq is so good, your behavior and temperament is so good, your personality is so good, that when you call them towards prayers, then they will want to come and pray. They will want to come and pray. Don't make deen. Believe. Really? This is an advice for my parents here. When you are angry, do not teach religion when you are angry. Don't tell them to pray when you are angry. You see, The first mistake that is made is that people, in order to get others to do things, or in order to invite others towards themselves, the first mistake they make is compromise their principles. That's the first mistake the person makes. You see, if you see an alim or a teacher who comes to you and then you have an issue where you know that, for example, it will be hard for him to speak to people regarding it. And I've seen this happen many times. For example, the issue of hijab. You know, hijab is wajib. Not wearing it is haram, it's a guna, it's sin, it's masiyat. Right? In fact, it is said in the hadith of Mi'raj that amongst the women who are Muslim women that Rasulullah saw in the hellfire, one of them was a woman, the group of women he saw that he had angels holding them by their hair and putting them in the fire and taking them out. Putting them in the fire and taking them out. And he asked, who are these people? Jibreel said, these are the women of your ummah who did not wear hijab. These are the women of your ummah who did not wear hijab. This is their punishment. They will be pulled by the hair and they will be put in the fire and taken out. You know how you fry chicken legs, you know, you put in the fire and take it out? Fact is that, you know, listen, I don't want to make it easy. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It is difficult. But our friends, understand this. When we want to invite people towards the deen, when we want to invite them, do not compromise your principle. You see someone else, for example, I'm not saying that there are, this is not an example I'm saying. If someone you see an alim who goes to a gathering, there's a mixed gathering, they invite them, oh, you know, like, I want you to read the nikah over here, so I go there to read the nikah, and I see that everyone's, you know, hanging out there, men, women, laughing, this and that, no hijab, nothing. And I'm like over there also laughing with them. Rabbi, what are you doing that for? Oh, it's to attract them towards the masjid, you know. If I'm here, then I'm not, Baba, don't do that. You don't need to do that. Why are you doing that? Why do you want to bring them like that? You see, if you don't have any principles to come, if you don't have any principles you stand on, why would they come to you? It's useless doing that. Why would they come to you? You know why hug is strong? Why hug is a magnet for people? My friend, understand this. The reason hug, truth is strong is because hug doesn't bow down and break its principles. When you stand on your principles, those who love your principles will be attracted to you. They will come to you. You don't need to break your principles to go and get them. Don't do something like that. There has to be principles we stand on. Those are principles, yes. We will go and help them, but not by breaking and compromising the Rasul and our principles that Allah has given us. You know how hard Rasulullah went out and did the tabligh of Islam? How many places he went to do the tabligh of Islam? How many places where, you know, he went where, you know, his, you know, like that, when you look at it, that, you know, I mean, he went through so many places that, you know, like for example, they ridiculed him, they made jokes of him, he was put to shame and all these things, but you see, he went there, but he never went any place where he was involved in haram, or are we okay haram? Never went any place where, for example, he compromised his principles. No one did more tabligh than that, than him. So my friends, understand this very well, and so you know this, that when you are giving deen to your children, when you want to teach them, when you want to give it to them, so what happens? How do you do that? You give it to them in a way where you keep the principle and then you give it. This is the first thing. Second thing is that when you give it, at least have good akhlaq yourself. At least have that akhlaq in yourself. Your temperament and your personality should be good. A person who wants to invite others to Islam smiling. He should be someone who's happy. He should be someone that when you meet him is likable. Not a dry, angry person. If you're a dry, angry person, don't bother about inviting others to Islam. You'll drive them away more than you'll invite them. Really, you'll drive them away. I was one place, you know, and this was a gathering that we had. There are other ulama there. And I was sitting with one or two of the other ulama there. And I'm a student, you know, so I was sitting with them. So, one of the brothers, you know, he came. And, you know, he was, you know, he had a face. A bit confused he was. He came and said, Maulana, you know, in Islam, we have been taught by Rasulullah and by Imam that you should be smiling. There should be a smile on your face. You know, like a nice smile on your face. And, you know, you should be happy because Alhamdulillah, you have Iman, you have Allah's Iman. So why should you be upset, angry, this and that? And so me and one two other ulama were there, said, yes, Alhamdulillah, that's the way, that's the proper akhlaq, that you should be happy. You know, why should we be happy? You know, if you get a treasure, would you be happy? You know, or, you know, let me put it in. I mean, who looks for a treasure nowadays, you know? Treasure like only in movies, Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that. Leave that alone, right? Now let me just give you another example. If you win the lotto, that would happen. $30 million. Would you be happy with that? See, understand this. What will your heart say? That's it. Allah has given you a bigger treasure and a bigger jackpot. Allah has given you Ahlul Bayt. Allah has given you Ahlul Bayt. So when we understand that Ahlul Bayt is a treasure and greater treasure than anything else in the world, then why would we be happy and smiling? So we said yes. This is the proper akhlaq. Of course we should be smiling. We should be happy. We have Ahlul Bayt. We have nothing to worry about. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So he said, but Maulana, yes, why aren't those ulama there happy? And there are some ulama sitting there, they're all angry. They saw them how. You know, if you were near them, you get afraid. And there's someone who went near them, and one of them were like, get out of here, get out of here. And ran away. And he's like, but why are they angry? I said, listen, brother, I don't know why they're angry. They might have some problems at home. Why don't you go and ask them? You know what he has to be for? You know, go and ask them. And the brother went and asked them. You know, he said, you know, Maulana, you know, I mean, you know, in Islam we have the flags and we should be smiling, we should be good, we should be happy, and this and that. You know, why are you acting like this? And he actually went and asked them. And, you know, they brushed him off also. Get over from us, oh my God. That's it, he was gone. How dare you speak like that to us? Oh, I mean, if you as a teacher, as an ustad, as an alim, as a parent, want to teach Islam to others, at least make yourself someone who's likable. That because you're so likable, that the people are listening to you will put up with hardships because you are saying it, because you are a likable person. That will soften the hardship. It will soften the effect of wajibat. It does soften that effect, my friends. It does soften that effect. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
If someone is likable and preaches Islam, then it is more enjoyable for people to listen to him and to do hardships. Now, I want you to understand this. You know, for example, if you have a good alim come and give a speech or a muhadara, a lecture, a mu'idha, you see that how much it has an effect on people and their hearts and this and that. So you see, the reason is because you see him and because he is good, then you're okay with what he's inviting to. No matter what he's inviting to you is difficult. It is hard. Prayer is hard. Salah is hard and difficult. Song is hard and difficult. But if the one who's inviting you is so sweet, is so good, then because of his sweetness, because of his goodness, easy to deal with. Someone becomes easy to deal with. My friends, Allah knows that his taqleef that he's giving mankind is difficult. Prayers is hard, fasting is hard. So in order that he makes you do that you should like it, he sent you the best person that he could find. He sent you the best person that he could find, the most appropriate, who has the best akhlaq, who has the best temperament, who has the best personality, who is the most lovable. So when he invited you to pray, 1400 years have passed and we are still doing what he has said because he was that good. Friend, you are praying today, it's easy for you because Rasulullah who invited you to pray was that good. He was so good that he invited you to pray and now you see that you're in love with prayer. Why? Because of his effect. He's the one who made you do that. He's the one. Really, he's the one. Yeah, let me give an example, you know. I think it was Ibn Arabi or Abu Abi Sina, you know, one of these two, you know. A story regarding them. Story regarding them in the sense that there was a time when they, when, you know, and they were great ustad of their time, great alim of their time. They were sleeping, right, with a student. You know, one of them was sleeping with a student. I think it was Ibn Arabi. He was sleeping with a student. And the student was obviously enchanted by his teacher. So the student was praising his teacher. You know, you always have those students in class who are brown nosers. You know, who don't have to be on the good books of the teacher, you know, the same things. You know, what do we call it, right? But this student was praising his teacher and he was saying, oh, you know what, you are so great, you are so good, you are so magnificent that I think you are a prophet. Because only prophets, because only anbiya are that good, and you are that good. Talk about the extent of ground using, man. He's going really far, right? But he's saying this, and he's going on and saying, listen, okay, if you say so, you know, he said, you are so good. You are a prophet. So what happened is that Ibn Sina, he said to him, I feel thirsty, will you give me a glass of water? It was winter time. It was cold outside. In those days, they didn't have fridges inside or water inside. You want to get water, you have to go to the well outside, take the water out and bring it. So the student looked at himself and he was obviously under some garments. And he said to the teacher, that teacher, 15 minutes more and we'll wake up for Subh. Fajr. Inshallah, I will give you the water then. Ibn Sina didn't say anything. Ibn Sina didn't say anything. He said, alright, fine, good. You know? He asked him, he was the best student he has. Best student. And he asked him for water and he made an excuse that no. No. So what happened? Is that they heard the azan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Azan went off. Ibn Sina heard the azan. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Then when it reached Ashhadu anna Muhammad al Rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When it reached that point, he said, you are saying that I'm a prophet. He told the student, let me teach you a lesson. This is a teachable moment now. Right, let me teach you a lesson. You are saying that I am a prophet, that I am a Nabi, that I am like Prophet Muhammad. Let me tell you the difference between me and Rasulullah. You are my best student. You are my best student. I just asked you for a glass of water. And you are making excuses for getting it. And this is me, and that is Rasulullah who lived at that time 600 years ago. He lived 600 years ago, has asked us to pray, and even today the servants are getting up in the morning and making azan. This, my friends, is the effect of Rasulullah. Allah sent him to make taklif easy on you, so that when you look at him, taklif becomes easy. When you have such a good person, then whatever taklif comes is easy for me to deal with, because such a great person is invited. My friends, it takes an imam like Hussein to make death taste very sweet. Hussein invited you. If Hussein is inviting you, how can death not become sweet for us? Taklif of jihad becomes easy while Hussein has invited you. This, my friends, is the secret. Allah has managed to make us right because He sent the best people to call you. And when we look at their character and their lovability, we say, nothing is hard if they tell me to do it. Nothing is hard. I'm in love. Nothing is hard. If your beloved tells you, jump in the lake, you would be like, how high? Right? Because you're in love. That's what happens when we love Ahlul Bayt. Taklif becomes easy for us. Wajibat becomes easy for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path and the wisdom to understand His guidance, hasten the way of prayer to our Imam. Make us His humble when He comes. Wa akhirat da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawatullahi wa barakatuh.